All right. So good morning, everybody. I'll start by talking a little bit about Agile beyond the hype. But before I go forward, I would like to understand a little bit about the audience. So if you could please help me understand a little bit what kind of backgrounds we have in the audience. How many of you are developing or have developed software in your career, like coding or testing or writing specs? Good, good. So you are in the right event. How many of you have managed or are managing groups of people that are developing software? Pretty healthy number. Very good. And how many of you are managing full organizations, whether departments or even companies that develop software? All right, not such a large group. So I'm not going to address the first group very much. So this is not about software development as a technical practice. So no testing or coding will be touched. But what I will try to talk about today is what does Agile mean for your organization, whether it is a department or a unit or a company. And I'll start by referring to some of the main challenges that we have currently with adopting certain Agile practices. But before I go forward, just a very quick word about myself. You can find me on Twitter. That's kind of my living room, so you'll always find me there. And just so that you get an idea of how old I am, this was my first computer. But I'm still not as old as this guy, even though we do share the nose and the name. His name was also Vasco. You remember Vasco because he was the one that took one of these and went all the way to India. Right? But okay, now let's talk about what you guys came here for. Here are some statistics. Statistics about Agile adoption and benefits. So most companies are either considering or have started adopting Agile. This is what the statistics tell you. And of course, because of that, I know that many of you have started adopting Agile, if not now, some time ago. We also know that Agile delivers some things that are valuable for us. So for example, 83% said that with Agile software development, they felt that there was either better or much better visibility to their projects. And if you're a manager, you know that's useful, right? Because if you know what's going on, you can actually do something about it. The question is, why didn't they start early? Because if 83% saw an improvement immediately, what kept them waiting? Then 90% said that Agile either improved or significantly improved their ability to manage changing priorities. Again, this makes a lot of sense because Agile is about adapting the organization and the projects to the priority changes that we see all the time. So that's a good thing. And some Agile projects, about 37%, reported faster to market than industry average. There's a bunch of projects there. This is from version 1 survey in 2009 and 2007. So this is actually data from many companies. This is not, you know, just one company or anything like that. And then in 2007, this is 2007, that's 5 years ago, so it's quite a while back, the question was, are you trying to implement Agile in your organization? And already at that point, 81.5% were trying to adopt Agile. I guess by now, probably about 120% are adopting Agile. No? This is a university. I mean, mathematics should be funny. No? Okay. I'll try later again, see if you wake up. So the point here is that if you're looking at some strategic advantage for your company, there's a few hints that Agile might be a good answer. But obviously that's not enough because, you know, I know this is a good thing, but what do I do about it? So how do we make it work for me and for my business? What's the bridge? The knowing that you need to do something is not the same as knowing how to do it. So what can we do in order to adopt Agile in our companies? What can we do in order to provide the value that many companies are reporting they have seen? It's not easy. So here's a quote from Ken Schwaber. 75% of organizations fail to benefit from Agile and Scrum as expected. Of course, that quote is just, you know, he was saying 75. He could have said 95. The number is not the point. The point is that this is a person who at that time, and you see the link to the interview there, at that time he was visiting many companies all over the world, and he saw that, okay, these companies have no hope whatsoever of ever benefiting from Scrum the way I think they should be benefiting from. So that begs the question, what is the benefit of Agile? Like, how would you describe it? What is it that we want out of Agile adoption? So one is, of course, you need to know how to adapt it, because it's not enough to say, okay, let's do Agile. Actually, many companies start like that, right? They say, somebody read a book, and then they said, this is good. Goes to the team and say, hey, do Agile. Here's the book. Right? How do you do it? It's not that simple. It's not just about reading books. Actually, if it were that simple, in 2007, we would have had 100% adopting Agile already. And then the second challenge is, how do I make it benefit my business? Because why would I do it otherwise? Right? If I'm not going to benefit, why would I even start? That would be a waste of time. So what we are looking for is some kind of a model, some kind of rails that will drive our Agile adoption. And that's what I will try to put forward in this presentation. This is mostly based on some lessons that I've learned and I've shared with others and that others have learned and shared with me. This is not a set of recipes, but there are some recipes in it. But the idea is to talk about what kind of issues you are going to face, what kind of issues you might already be facing, and kind of share with you the steps that our companies have gone through or the companies that I've worked for have gone through. How can we go from wanting to be Agile to actually being Agile? And what are the challenges in our path? So step one is rather easy. How many of you have done pilot projects in your organization? If you could raise your hands. Yeah, quite a big number. That's pretty typical. Pilot projects are very common. And this is very important because pilot projects are the ones that allow you to learn how this thing works in practice. It is a safe environment, right? Yeah, if it fails, it's only a small project. Nobody's going to die. But let's try it. Let's see what we can learn from it. So that's an important part. Then you have to use the output of the pilot projects to prepare the wider adoption. This is a very important point. So when you do a pilot project, you learn a certain number of things. For example, you learn who in your organization does not fit an Agile way of working. You will know that because they will come out of the woodwork and start saying, oh, yeah, this can never work, and this is all wrong, and I want my control. Where are my reports? Right? You will learn that. And then you have to make a decision. You have to decide, what do I do now? Right? Because there's no point in trying to adopt Agile if the people who are supposed to work with it don't want to do it. So that's one example. But there are other examples, right? So how do I actually convey progress information to the stakeholders? This is a very simple thing. You know, in Waterfall, it's very easy. In Waterfall, the way to convey progress is to lie. There's, by the way, no other way, because if you know something about software development in a Waterfall environment, you know that you never know where you are until it's too late, right? It's only at the end that you know the project is over. How many of you have worked overtime to finish a project? And this is Finland. Imagine if this was like US or India. So you know that Waterfall projects are not very kind on you. Even though you might learn all of these things, there's also one thing, and this is our lesson learned, there's also one thing you must consider, that even though pilot projects are useful, even though they are required for us to learn how to apply Agile in our organizations, and by the way, there is no recipe for Agile adoption. You have to figure out how it works in your organization. That's also one of the reasons why pilot projects are important. The fact is that pilot projects typically succeed because they are pilot projects, because they are safe experiments. So I was going through this one presentation about one agile/lean project in one organization, and the presenter was going like, yeah, so this was a very small team, and they were like all co-located, and management didn't really care about what they did, so they could basically do whatever they wanted. And then he finishes the presentation by saying, and therefore, we adopted the same process for the whole organization. Huh? So now you only have small teams that management doesn't care about? Right? Why that happened was that he was trying to extrapolate the results of a pilot project that worked in a specific context, right? Small group, no management interference, very clear goal, possibility to go back and forth and change things all the time, which doesn't happen if it's a high-stakes project. Nobody will let you do whatever you want in a high-stakes project. That's crazy. But here he was, a presenter, telling everybody that this pilot project was enough to justify a whole slew of assumptions that he was presenting at the same time. So be careful, because even though you can learn a lot from pilot projects, the fact is that they are pilot projects, and therefore you have to learn a lot more than just what you learn from the pilot projects. Pilot projects succeed typically because they are small, they have a very small environment, even co-located teams, they don't have a lot of interference from product management or even management in general, and so on. So really the challenge is, how do we take Agile to the rest of the organization? One pilot project is very important. This is how you start being familiar with the process, how you allow your teams to start to get familiar with the context, the vocabulary, read books, go to courses, etc. But then how do you take it to the rest of the organization? Before we go there, here's a cheat sheet. You don't need to take notes. This is all on SlideShare and will be available to you in video and otherwise. But this is the main idea. Pilot projects use the output as a way to learn how the Agile methodology applies to your organization, but don't forget that pilot projects succeed because they are pilot projects. So look for differences in context. That's very important. So that's step one. Step two is about considering the impact on the whole R&D. So very simple question. What happens when you have agile projects and non-agile projects interacting? Because you would have to start somewhere, right? So what happens when you have that context? And how about ensuring that you make the right products, not just the wrong product, but faster? So let's see what Marco has to say later this afternoon. Look out for his presentation on that. So let's dive a little bit into this question, the impact of Agile in the whole R&D. So this is lesson learned too. A problem that you will face very early on is how to synchronize multiple projects that are ongoing in your organization. So think about this case. So you have R&D teams that will depend on each other for many reasons, right? Because maybe I'm doing a set of components that the other team will use, or maybe I'm doing one part of the product and the other team is doing the back end or the front end of the product and we need to interact. How do you synchronize those teams? How do you build that common way of working? So I had one case. We were doing a web-based product, and we went to this one team, and they were still not doing Agile, right? We were one of those pilot projects. And they were still not doing Agile. And we go to this planning meeting, and we say, okay, this is the things we need for the next sprint. For us, the sprint was 4 weeks, which is quite a big number compared to what I know now. But at that time, I didn't know better, so 4 weeks was a good number. And you go to them, and they say, well, actually, our project is in the middle. We can't promise anything. Our project will end in 3 months. So maybe in 3 months you will get something out of us. Right? And then you're facing this as like, why didn't anybody tell me that not everybody was agile? Right? And this is things that the teams go through all the time. How do I get other teams to understand how to collaborate with me, or how do I start collaborating with other teams? So it's very important that you address the different clock cycles in your organization. And this is very easy. When you start the project, it's very easy to actually find out where those are, because when you start the pilot project, you will start to see conflicts immediately, especially if there needs to be interaction between the different teams. And one thing that you know for sure is that where there is a conflict, there is very likely a different clock cycle. Some team can deliver something in 2 weeks or 4 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever, and another team needs 3 months to get something done. So getting those together is one of the first problems that you will encounter once you start adopting Agile. Now, it's not the only thing that you will encounter, of course. Another important aspect is aligning goals between the different projects. How many of you have a portfolio / roadmap process in your companies? Okay, all the others, you're doomed. But it's not necessarily a solution to have a road mapping and portfolio process. Also, the teams that execute that roadmap, that execute that portfolio or bring that portfolio to life, they have to have common goals. Do you understand what the roadmap is trying to achieve for your company? Right? So if those of you that have a roadmap or a portfolio process, could you raise your hand? Okay. Of those, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Of those, how many have a strategy process that links to the roadmap process? Okay, you have a problem there. So how can you even have the same goals for different teams if there's no common thing that they are working for, right? So with Agile, these things become bloody obvious because you start to get fights in the corridor. You know, I need this. No, I need this. And you're like discussing, you know, do we do A or do we do B? And with Agile, you get a very interesting dynamic. So I was working for this one company, and I was joining this company. I thought, oh, this company is far too slow. I'm going there. I'm going to change them completely. They're going to be so much faster. And then I go there, and I figured out that actually they're changing their project goals every 2 weeks. Like, they're going in every direction every 2 weeks. What can you do with that? It's not about agility. That's like no direction was the problem in that particular company. Right? So if you don't have a roadmap process, if you don't have a strategy that links to your roadmap process, if those goals are not communicated to the teams through the projects and the projects do not follow that roadmap objectives or goals, you have no common goals. It doesn't matter if you adopt Agile in that context, because you just have teams that are very fast at going nowhere because they're not working together, right? So aligning goals across projects is extremely important. Another very important point is that Agile, which requires time boxes, meaning that you have to deliver value on a regular basis to whoever the stakeholders are, cannot work with waterfall. It's just not possible. So one thing that we figure out pretty soon was that there were some areas in our organization that were not working very well together. So one very easy case is IT. How many of you work in IT versus product development, by the way? So sorry. So IT is typically a laggard in adopting Agile. And there's a very simple reason for that. Nobody really cares because the money is not coming from IT, right? Typically the money is coming from product development or service delivery or whatever, and IT is just there to help, you know, the laptops are not working, please come and help, right? That's what people typically look at IT like. So it's not a very, it's not a job that allows the best people to kind of bring the best out in their way of working. So first of all, you have this problem that you have to cut costs all the time, right? You have to save money. Don't spend money. IT is a cost center, not a profit center. So you have a first problem. Then the second problem is that what typically happens is that IT works with a little bit, chaotic processes, you know, because there's a lot of people coming in, like in the morning, hey, my PC doesn't work, the VPN's not working, I can't get my email. This is all interrupts, right? It's very hard to make static and stable processes in an interrupt-driven work. It is possible, but it's not necessarily very easy. So you have this problem that you have these long-term things that IT needs to do, like change everybody into Windows 7, long project, right? Need training, need deployment, and all of that. Or install a bunch of Blade servers in the data center because we're going to have a back-end service that needs those, or whatever. And then you have this constant interrupt. So there's a bit of a problem, a bit of a dilemma in IT as it is. And then you have the other problem, which is that if you want a career in project management, you don't necessarily look for IT, meaning IT like inside the company, IT services, right? You look more like product development or customer development or whatever. So what you end up with is a fairly explosive mixture, which is an organization that is constantly being demanded to answer some kind of urgent problem, like the CEO's PC is not booting or something like that. And then you have the other issue, which is that actually the teams in the company that are delivering products, they need IT in order to be able to deliver. This is even more true if you work with data centers and so on and so forth. So there's this example. There's one team, and they were working with a service that needed an IT-supported and deployed server somewhere in a data center somewhere in the world. So they are adopting Agile, and they end the sprint, and they figure out when they're planning the next sprint, okay, so our sprint is about 2 weeks, so we need to go to IT, and we need to ask them to set up the Blade server so that we can deploy to it. And then the project manager goes running to IT, and he says, hey, John, we need this server, and we have the sprint planning tomorrow, so can you come tomorrow and talk to the guys and explain what they need to do so that we can prepare for the server to be ready at the end of the sprint? And John goes like, what? Are you crazy? You know, we run a very tight ship here. I have my TPS reports to report tomorrow. I can't spend time on that, right? So go over to talk to Ellen, the only project manager in the whole IT organization, to schedule your work. And maybe, if you're lucky, you get something by Christmas. And this happens, right? So you can't work with organizations like, for example, the R&D on the product services side and IT that use completely different approaches to work management. You can't have this long-term fixed scheduling in IT and then this short-term really adaptive cycle in the product development or service development. They don't go together. So this is a big problem for us, how to do that. We need to figure that out. Then, of course, synchronizing projects across the whole R&D. I think we touched that a little bit already. But then there's another issue. So we've talked about R&D projects so far, but there's another very critical role, the product management or product owner role. So the hidden truth is that Agile does not work without a product owner or product manager role that is, active, involved, and working with the team on a regular basis. How many of you that still work with software today, can you raise your hands? Like, you develop software today, so you're in some kind of team, right? How many of you, keep your hands up, how many of you saw your product owner in the last 4 weeks? 2 weeks? Okay, that's not too bad, though. That's not too bad. But it is a very common problem that when you adopt Agile, you need a lot more interaction with the product owner and the product manager. They're just not available for whatever reason. They're visiting customers, they're working on a future project that will happen 6 months from now, whatever it is. But the point is that Agile is just a faster way to develop software. If you have garbage in, you just have garbage out faster, right? So it's a very important issue, how to involve the product owners, how to involve the product managers. And this leads me to this lesson learned. In one of the companies I was working with, we actually got to the point that we started asking ourselves, look, if we need the product owners and the product managers so involved, then they are part of the R&D unit, right? Why would they be in a product sales and marketing division if they are not needed there as much as they are needed here? And this brings a whole set of other questions related to how you organize your whole organization. If you need product owner present and they are only talking to customers and going to trade shows, they are doing the wrong thing. Now, they might still be doing the right thing for other aspects of the company, like for sales. Sales would be happy to have product manager along all the time to present this great new roadmap. But if the development teams are left alone without knowing what to do and just sometimes figuring out on their own what is the next set of features, that doesn't work very well. You can't really benefit your business if your teams are not working on what is most valuable, right? This is a problem we need to solve. So consider, where should we draw the R&D boundaries? So in my experience, there needs to be very present product owner / product management unit within R&D. They need to be there all the time. Now, of course, sales will say, hey, but we also need product management on our side, and that's correct as well. But the fact is that if you have teams that are much faster at delivering something, but they have no guidance, then they can't deliver the right thing. Then maybe that's one of the things that leads to this question. This is a question that many people have asked. Actually, with Marco, we've been having a lot of discussions about this. Why are you adopting Agile? Why not continue the way you were doing before? Why go through the work? I mean, why even bother? Right? How many of you believe that there are some advantages to Agile software development, that it would be good to adopt Agile software development? How many of you believe in that? Okay. Have you discussed with your management and your colleagues why that is? Do you have a common agreement of what are those benefits that that you are looking for? So the lesson learned here is that if you don't have a common agreement of why you are adopting Agile, most likely you will fail. Actually, you're probably already failing and might just not be noticing it, because in Scrum literature we talk about obstacles, you know, and our role in Scrum adoption is to remove obstacles. See, the point is that those obstacles are telling you, are giving you a message. And the message might be that no one agrees on why we are adopting Agile. And if you just remove the obstacles and you don't figure out why the obstacles are there, you might end up trying to push Agile into an organization that is not ready to adopt it. So on my side, the lesson learned here is that start by creating a cross-company goal for Agile adoption. Just have a few discussions about that topic. See what you get. If you really have a common goal, then that's fine. You have no problem. But what if you don't? So this is the step 2B. In my opinion, product management needs to be part of R&D organization, because in R&D organizations, we should be developing products, not just technology, not just software, right? A very simple question to ask related to this is, take any random developer in your organization and ask them, what is the product? And see what they answer. I'm pretty sure that probably what they will say is that, oh, it's the software, right? But now take that answer and compare it to what you get from a customer when you ask the same question. And are they the same? Probably not, right? So this is one important point. I'm currently working on exactly this point in the company where I am right now, that for us to understand what kind of products we are developing, we actually need to figure out that we are developing products, not software. Getting the software delivered may mean nothing for a customer, right? So we need to figure out what does it mean, and having product management part of R&D responsible for defining the product as they are and communicating that to the teams will raise a lot of issues that you will need to tackle. Like, for example, is localization part of product development? For some companies, it is. So, okay, maybe we should have localization as part of the team. Is website development and marketing campaign development part of the product? It is. If it is, then maybe you should have that as part of the project as well, and so on and so forth. And basically what I've been trying to say is summarized in this lesson learned, is that if you're adopting Agile in an R&D unit within a larger organization, the best you can do is to get R&D to be faster, but you will get no business benefit out of it. I think Marco was sharing an example yesterday. Can I share that? Okay. So he was sharing an example yesterday when over dinner, where he said that they went into a company and they had quite a lot of improvements in that company. They made the product development, or I should say the software development part, much faster. But then when they looked at the whole value chain from idea to the delivery to the customer at the end, they found out that there were huge queues, and the queues were just getting larger. This part in the middle was faster, which meant that the next queue was growing much faster than it used to grow, but there was nothing going to the customer, right? So if you ask yourself, what's the benefit I want from Agile for my business, not for my team only, but for my business, certainly at some point you will come to this conclusion, that Agile should be about the whole organization, not just about R&D, not just about the software bit. And this leads me to lesson learned number 9. So what you have there on the screen is a very cute cat on the left. That's a product manager. And on the right, you have a turtle who's just hidden within the shell, and that's a software developer. And the problem we have, and this is why I wanted to show this slide here, is that our decisions are too slow. Our decision processes are too slow. Product management is not ready for Agile adoption. But they are the ones that own the world. From our perspective, from R&D perspective, product management owns the world. They decide everything we do, so they are the cat, you know, with the hand threatening us. And why I wanted to show this is that we have to get out of our shell. We have to start thinking, okay, what do I need from you as a product manager? It's not enough for me to know what I'm going to do next sprint. I want to understand what this product is supposed to do so that I can do my job. It's not enough for me to have a backlog. I want to understand what this product is supposed to achieve in the market. So we have to stop hiding within the shell of R&D, and we have to start asking those questions. Because if you have an extremely slow process for making decisions, having a faster R&D doesn't make any sense. If you find out at the end of the project that the feature that you delivered at the beginning is no longer needed, that's too late. So this interaction is very important. And in some audiences, perhaps not in this audience, but in some audience, I have to emphasize the fact that actually software developers, testers, and coders are as responsible for the product design as the product managers are. If we accept slow decision processes, we are part of the problem. We have to go out of our shell. We have to talk to product management and include our views into their decision processes. Of course, we've covered that already. So, maybe now we should look at the solutions, right? I mean, maybe we've talked about problems long enough. I know this is Finland. It's okay to talk about problems, but nevertheless, maybe it's been long enough. So there's, a cheat sheet. You will be able to see it later, so don't worry. It's quick, but it's there. So this is what you need to start thinking about. Agile should be, and actually, if you look at the manifesto, it is about delivering value to the customer, about thinking holistically about the system, and not just about what do I do as a software developer, what do you do as a software tester, what do they do as product managers. It's about thinking, how do we go from an idea to a product that makes sense for our business? So the question I asked a moment ago, do you have a roadmap process? It's okay if it is the software developer who asks about the roadmap process, but somebody needs to, right? Because I was working at a company who shall remain nameless, and in that company they believed they were immortal. They couldn't do any wrong. They were successful. They were selling like, you know, their products were selling like pancakes and everybody wanted them, and they say, hey, we can't do anything wrong. They believed they were immortal. They were not asking the right questions. So they continued on delivering the wrong product that nobody else wanted, but there were sufficient delays in the system for them to understand that actually no one wanted their product. So they were being duped into believing that their product was a success, even though it wasn't anymore. But they continued that. They never questioned what was coming from the management, what was the actual health of the company. So they were a big company, very large company, and they said, hey, what can go wrong? I mean, we're like thousands of people. And then one day, they all got fired. The whole company got fired. And this is no joke. This has happened. And I'm sure you guys are familiar with similar situations around here. So this is the problem. If we try to optimize only one small part, if we are like really the best at developing software, but our products suck, we're not going to get anywhere. So how do we improve the effect of Agile in our business? Starts with that very simple thing. Think about the customer. Think about the whole system. What do we want to improve? It's the company. It's not the software development process. It's the frigging company. Right? So here's one problem you will immediately face once you finally get the software processes to work fine, which is that even though you're a really good software company, even though you have really agile teams, you're doing all of the unit testing, continuous integration, everything you put out into production is super high quality, and then a sales guy comes and says, yeah, you know, I just had a meeting with the top management. We went to this pitch house and we met some customers, and for 2 days we talked about portfolio. So now we have a portfolio. Here it is. And then they give you this huge amount of requirements and say, okay, now you have to deliver this in 6 months. What? Did you even bother to think what's the consequences of doing something like that? They typically don't. But this is a big problem for us. Sales, at the moment, as they are structured today, work with long-term, non-negotiable roadmaps. And one of the key aspects of agility is adaptability. If you are given a non-negotiable roadmap, how much can you adapt? Not at all, right? So imagine this. You are like the best agile unit in the world, best R&D. You're really amazing at delivering software, but you're following a long-term, non-negotiable roadmap, which has products in it that make no sense in the market. But you're delivering them very fast, right? So this is one of the things that we need to question. Agile is about improving the whole business. It's not about improving only one team. So we have to ask, does it make any sense to have long-term, non-negotiable roadmaps? And then another aspect is what we've touched a little bit. This is an actual picture from an Agile team. The only thing you see is the curve and the skid marks. And what happened there was that the team was very fast at delivering value. They were very fast at delivering new features. But the world changed. But nobody told them, right? And what happens? They get fired because their product doesn't make sense anymore. Their product is not needed. And this is happening all the day, every day. The IT industry in Finland, I know because I used to work with local employees board, so we had access to this, you know, burnout data and so on from multiple companies in Finland. IT has one of the highest burnout ratios for all industries in Finland. We are destroying people every day, and this is literally true. We are destroying people every day. If you have a burnout, there's actually a chemical imbalance in your brain, so you stop being who you were. You're no longer the same person. This is a case like that. This is a team that was pushed to the brim to deliver a product nobody wanted, and then they got fired. And then they go home and tell their husbands and their wives, I don't have a job anymore. And what happens then? And we're doing this all the time in our industry. So we have to really be critical about how we run our companies, how we manage our development organizations, and we really have to ask, is there a purpose for what we're doing? How do we know we are delivering the right product? And how can we know that we are delivering the right product? Right? This is a very important question, and a question that affects a lot more than the bottom line. It actually affects our capability as a population to continue to produce value, to continue to deliver new products. Okay, I'm getting out of my soapbox now. Have a vision in place for every project that is shared across the whole organization. If you're looking for the right project, for the right product, a product that makes sense in your market, and you don't have a vision, you don't know where you're going, you're doing it wrong. If it's not shared, no one can question it. No one can bring more information to that decision. So you're doing it wrong as well. So not only is it imperative that you have a vision for every project that you have in your organization, you have to share that vision. People need to understand it, and they need to be able to criticize it. Otherwise, you're in this situation again. This is one thing. I was working with a team. They were kind of starting agile adoption, and they were actually quite good developers. But there was a problem with that team, which ended up actually being an advantage. And the problem with that team was that the product owner could not help them. The product owner was far too busy, product management and so on, like talking to sales, talking to customers and so on. So he couldn't help them. So what they decided to do is that, okay, let's have regular meetings. Let's talk about the vision. They created the vision for the product. Let's talk about the vision. Let's talk about, you know, what kind of customers you want to touch, what kind of benefits you want to give to those customers. But then let's let us develop the product. This was a very technical product, so it was not like, you know, you didn't need to do a lot of customer service to figure out what the vision was, or you didn't need to do a lot of customer service to figure out what the customers really needed, because it was a very niche product. But the team was much more engaged, because they knew what the vision was. They were involved in the process of creating the product. You got a product that was adapting much faster to the customer needs than other products were, because the product manager was meeting with the team on a regular basis, but was not doing the daily work of managing the backlog and so on. So what they did was that they actually, within the team, they organized what they lovingly called the product backlog secretary, which was somebody who was translating the product owners and product managers' needs and wishes into a form that the team could then take and implement. But the whole team was engaged in this process. And actually, this is one of the things that ever since I've been trying to get implemented in all of the teams that I worked with, is that get the team involved with the vision. If the team buys the vision, then they can bring their own innovation. It is, of course, technical innovation, because the team is not necessarily a customer expert, but they are the technology expert. And there's a lot of stuff that can be innovated at the technical level. So by creating this dialogue between the two parts and having a clear ownership in the team side about the product, and in this case it was quite easy to do because it was a very technical, niche-focused product, then you can have a lot more creative and innovative teams than if you would just dictate the requirements, you know, here are the requirements and so on and so forth. So that was a lesson learned that I still try to replicate today for every team that I work with. This I've already linked to, but it's very important that you have a company strategy that is reflected by your company projects visions, right? If there is no link, if you can't figure out how my daily work affects the company strategy, then you can't do what the previous slide said, which is to create an innovative, engaging, and creative environment. So it's very important that you create a link between what is this project doing versus the company strategy. So let's say the company wants to go that way, how is this project going to help? And then it's also important that you give that to the team and say, okay, now for every story we are developing, we have to ask, does it fit the vision? We don't just blindly implement stories on a day-to-day basis. We ask, does it make sense within this vision to implement this story, right? And that's how you engage the team, how you get them to participate actively in the product design. I've touched this a little bit in the first part. Do not forget that if you're not uncovering problems elsewhere than in R&D, you cannot benefit your company. It is impossible to benefit your company without changing the company. So it's very important to look for those, to be aware that first, probably in product management, there will be some problems, so you need to figure out what the reason is for those and figure out how to best structure your company, maybe including product management inside R&D. But then there are other things, like how many of you have individual bonuses in your companies? Or individual evaluation, performance evaluation in your companies? Right. So one of the basic principles of Agile is that we work as a team. Now, if you're rewarding individuals, but you're asking them to work as a team, what do you get? A big disconnect, right? They're not working together. You're not allowing them to work together. So that's another topic that will pop up at some point. We've touched on this. Go through all of the business units and ask, why are we adopting Agile? And then make sure that at some point in that process, they all see the same goal, even though they might not all agree, but they all see the same goal. They know why you're adopting Agile. Because if you don't do this, Agile will become a buzzword, a fad. It will go away sooner or later. And actually, there are many companies that are now in this phase where they say, yeah, we tried Agile. It doesn't work for us. We go back to the stuff we did before, right? And then finally, there's one thing that I want to kind of highlight is that the only way to benefit your company ultimately is to provide an environment for continuous improvement. And this is what this slide is about. It's a little bit like the Alice, the Red Queen effect. How many of you have read Alice in Wonderland? It's a good product. I mean, it's a good book for product development. You should read about it. And there's this Red Queen effect, which is that it doesn't matter how fast Alice runs. She must run as fast as she can just to keep in the same place. And that's how it feels in the marketplace, especially a very competitive marketplace, is that you have to run as fast as you can in order to just keep up with the competition. And the fact is that, you know, when Google came up with this brilliant search engine, they couldn't imagine that a few years later Facebook would come and eat their lunch, right? Or that Apple would come and eat their lunch on the mobile phone side. But that is what is happening. Now Apple has the power to destroy a huge revenue for Google, you know, because they might decide not to use Google search anymore, and that's huge. Or Facebook, which is already happening, might become the place where people share what they want to see. So then Google doesn't know what you want to see anymore because they don't have access to that data. And this is a huge company by all accounts. They just reported a $10 billion revenue in the last quarter. But they have to keep running as fast as they can just to keep up with the competition. And whether you see it or not, so do you, right? So one of the goals for Agile is to provide an environment of continuous improvement, continuous change, continuous looking for the next steps for our product development to improve. So what you should, there's a cheat sheet, all of the three steps there now. So what we really need is a model based on experience that helps achieve business improvement. And this is what I want to focus on, business improvement. And that means that we need to take a business-oriented approach to Agile adoption. Agile is not about software only. That's where it started, but it cannot stop there. Otherwise, we cannot benefit our companies. So we need this holistic approach. But there is one solution, one very easy recipe for adopting Agile. It's coming up in the next slide. Pay attention. Just hire someone that's done it before. Don't try to go it alone. Especially now, in Finland especially, there's loads of people with experience, with a lot of experience on how this is done. Hire someone. Bring someone with that knowledge into the company. That's the best way you can benefit your business. So here's my proposal for a model. 3 steps, 15 lessons learned. This is all available. You can check it out on SlideShare, and I guess it will be made available by the conference organizers. And even though this tries to be simple, there's a lot of complexity behind. But what I wanted to do today is to give you an overview of some of the things we've learned, some of the things that we see are problems regularly in Agile adoption, but especially one thing is that Agile should not be about software development only. Yes, it is a big part about software development, but it should not be about software development only. It should be about how we benefit our companies. How do we bring the effect to the bottom line? How do we get products to the market faster if that's what's important for you? And so on. Thank you very much.